step. One step. And I find that it is inconsequential in the overall scheme of things what happens between the giving of the promise and the fulfillment of that promise. Ain't no telling what might happen. Doesn't make any difference. Jesus simply said, let's pass over to the other side. And we all are on a journey, but don't forget, he did say, we're going to the other side. Now, when he says we're going to the other side, you can take it to the bank. Because faithful, everybody say faithful. Faithful is he who promised, who also will do it. He will not fail one good word of his promise. All the promises of God are in him, yea. Say yea. And in him, amen. So be it. And so he said, let's pass over to the other side. That's what I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the journey. We're all on a journey. Anybody can start in a race. But can you finish the race? Some folks come in late and leave early. The Bible says, early will I seek thee. Now, I know that sometimes we use that in relation to prayer, and we like to say, well, we need to get up at 4 o'clock and pray. Well, that's all right. Some of you, it wouldn't be no problem at all, because you're early risers. And you believe that little slogan, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Don't you wish that was true? Hey, I've got an edited version of that, Brother Bishop. Early to bed, early to rise, until you get enough money to do otherwise. Now, here's the edited version of that one. Early to bed, early to rise, because your bones won't let you do otherwise. So, when the Bible says, early will I seek thee, I don't think he is necessarily talking about getting up at 4 o'clock praying. If you want to, that's fine. Fine. But he's going to be up whether you get up or not. He never goes to sleep. I think what he's talking about is some folks try everything first before they try God. And what he's trying to tell you is always try God first. Always give God the first. Seek him first. Seek he first. So it's good to start on the journey, but it's good to start while you're young also. If you don't know that, you just, you need to learn some things. You can't wait till you get 70 years old to start your portfolio and expect to retire on it. But if you start when you're 15, Brother Underwood, all you got to do is put just a little bit in. You see what I'm talking about? There's an advantage to starting out early. So, some folks can start, but can you finish? One of the most astounding verses in all the Bible that I ever come across is the second to last verse of the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is what it says. I hope you're listening to me. It says, let us hear the conclusion. Some folks don't stay around for the conclusion. You got to stay around for the conclusion. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Sum it up in one verse. 12 chapters of things under the sun. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty. Everybody say duty. See, if there's any one word I'd like to take out, it'd be that word duty. Because it's just not one in grammar words. I mean, you know, when you talk about duty, you don't jump up and bite the ceiling. It's something that you are bound to do. Not necessarily because you want to, but because you are bound to. It's your duty. Hey, can I tell this congregation something? If all you're going on is inspiration, you won't be around very long. Now, I've been in church on Sunday night when I had goosebumps digging up to hang a cowboy hat on. But when Monday came, the goosebumps were gone. And that's when duty kicks in. The inspiration's gone. But when the alarm clock goes off, brother, that's when duty kicks in. So I found this to be true. If I keep on walking and keep on going and keep on living for God, even when I don't feel it, the inspiration will catch up with me sooner or later. Jesus said, you put your hands to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I will be the first to tell you there's been times when I've had my hands to the plow, but notice he didn't say, you've got to have your heart there. Somebody said, well, what in the world are you preaching to us about for? What are you trying to motivate us about living for God? I'm just trying to tell you how I feel, how you feel. Because you don't always have your heart there either. Oh, I know some folks, they always accept you. You can't ask some folks how they're doing. 99 times out of 100, I'm doing fantastic, they say. Every time you meet them, I'm doing fantastic. And you get to wonder, do you ever have a mediocre day? Do you ever have just a regular old day? Not me. Every morning I wake up and say, good morning, Lord. Well, if you live for God long enough, you're going to have some of them mornings when you wake up and say, good Lord, morning. But you don't throw in the towel. You just keep on going. You keep on walking. Hey, you got to go on duty. If you stop, you'll drop. If you doubt, you're out. But if you pray, you can stay. And if you fast, you can last. And if you can take it, you can make it. Hey, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to keep on going. Not going to turn around. There's been times I've had my hand to the plow, but my heart wasn't there. But I kept on plowing. And it wasn't too long after that, here comes the inspiration. Oh, there shall come time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But you've got to keep on walking. So, he says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And so, you know, I find that we need hope for living more than we do for dying. Dying is easy work. Now, some of you wonder when I'm going to start preaching. I'm in the heat of it right now. So don't miss it. We need hope for living more than we do for dying. Dying is easy work when you compare it to this thing called life. Dying is just a moment's transition. But living is a transaction of years. It's the length of the rope that puts the sag in it. I got on a plane last year in Houston, Texas, coming out to Sacramento. And lo and behold, I looked a couple seats behind me. I turned around, and there sat Brother O.C. Marler. He didn't have an idea that I was on a plane. And so I waited till we got up cruising altitude, and I went back to, hey, what you doing? And, of course, he was reading, and we sat down and talked about 3.5 hours. And he handed me a CD. He said, won't you take this CD? He says, one of my CDs that I went in the studio and did the CD. And it's, what a, and the title of it is, You Drive, I'll Talk. You Drive, I'll Talk. If you don't have that CD, you better find it and get it. Because it is powerful, powerful. He's a master storyteller. And so he just, hey, there's not one story, not no two stories on there that has any, it's just stories. They don't even match up. They're just stories. But He tells his story on his CD about this old boy that was a cotton picker, picking cotton. Anybody here ever picked cotton before? Yeah, I got a few cotton pickers here tonight. And so this old boy was picking cotton. It was hot in summertime. And he went on to tell about picking cotton. He said there's many different size sacks that you can pick cotton in, and all depends on how much you can tote. That's a good old Southern word, Brother Mike, tote. So the biggest cotton sack that you can pick cotton in is what they call an Oklahoma freight train. There you have it. You know all about that Oklahoma freight train. And that's the biggest cotton sack you pick cotton in. Well, this old country boy was picking cotton, and he had one of them Oklahoma freight trains. And he picked it till it was slam full, and he was carrying it back to the weighing station there. And the old boy up on the platform there where he was weighing in saw him coming a long ways off. And he just watched him. Finally, he got up to the platform, and he got up on top of that platform. The old boy picked it up, and he put it on the scales. And he looked at the scales and said, And he kind of shook it around, and he looked at it again and said, He said, you know, by the way you was toting that sack of cotton up here, he said, I thought it would weigh more than what it does. The old country boy, he just simply looked at him and said, I'll tell you what, bub, you let it hang there a while, and it'll get heavy. So sometimes it's not that we got a heavy load, it's just we've been toting it so long. Hey, I don't mind getting swallowed by a whale, but hey, there's something else to be nibbled at by manna. It's just that day-by-day grind. It's just one thing after another, and you go out of one thing to the other. Hey, listen, we're all on a journey tonight, but you got to keep on going, regardless of what happens. It's inconsequential in the overall scheme of things. What happens? How heavy a load gets? Just keep on toting it. Keep on going. Keep on walking. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. My Lord, have mercy. You know, I can look at some of you, right? I can look in the faces of some folks. It's written all over your face. You just get ripped off. And too many things you get ripped off. And, you know, listen, I read a little cartoon deal, and it was about Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know if anybody is familiar with Calvin and Hobbes, but he's no longer in the newspaper, but Mr. Watterson, I believe his name, and he wrote a cartoon called Calvin and Hobbes. And Calvin's a little boy about this tall, and he always carries on fictitious conversation with a paper tiger, a stuffed tiger. It's amazing conversations. As it would happen this particular day, it was hot. Calvin's out in the front yard. He's got a table set up right there on the sidewalk. And in front of the table, he's got a big white poster. And he's got it attached to the table, big, bold letters. And this is what it said, life, L-I-F-E, life, 25 cents. And so little next-door neighbor, Susie, little girl, she comes walking down the sidewalk. And she's just strolling along there, and she looks at Calvin's sign. He's standing behind the table with a collection box there. And so she says, Curiosity gets the best of her. She reaches the pocketbook, takes a quarter out, puts it in the collection box, steps back and says, Calvin, all right, now, what do I get in return? And Calvin just kind of folded his arms, looked at Susie, and said, I'll tell you what you get in return. You get nothing in return. You just got ripped off. That's what life is. Hey, some of you get ripped off you might get ripped off when it comes to buying that automobile that salesman said, let me tell you about the resale value on this. You might get ripped off when you buy the house and the next week you got to replace the roof. You might get ripped off when you go to the restaurant and if they could only get the food that tastes as good as the pictures look, hey, I'd be a lot bigger than what I am right now. Hey, you might get ripped off in a lot of things, but when it comes to living for God, when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to the blessings of God, you don't have to get ripped off. You don't have to get ripped off. My God! He gives us all
eternal things richly to enjoy. To enjoy. You need to enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Oh, come on, put your hands together and praise the Lord. Some of you need to get excited about the journey. Life has got enough problems without you adding sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Go ahead and rejoice.
Hey, you know what Susie did? I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to put up what the devil gives you. You don't have to get ripped off. You know what she did? She kicked him in the seat of her britches and got her quarterback. Now listen, some folks feel like they're doing God a favor just by showing up. Now, hey, I commend everybody that's here tonight. I know you really went out of your way to come here. You got, matter of fact, you got your air-conditioned or heated car. And, you know, SUV, some of you. You really sacrificed. Mm-hmm. So I commend you for being here tonight. Some folks feel like they do God a favor when they just show up, you know. Well, I'm living for God. And, you know, I'm like, hey. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm sometimes up, I'm sometimes down. You know, somebody said to me the other day, I'm so down and out. I've never been down and out. I've been up and down, but never down and out. If you're down and out, it's over. But you're down, you can get back up. Somebody here tonight needs to get back up. Well, I'm just serving the Lord the best I can. No, no, it's not enough that you're serving. You know what my book tells me? Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with gladness. Put a smile on your face. Woo! Well, I feel like shouting. I feel like enjoying the Holy Ghost. Hey, the devil is trying to take your joy. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's all right. That's all right. She's on a journey. Enjoy it. My God, my God, my God, my God. It's all right to rejoice. It's all right to rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You know, I'm not all that old. I'm barely 40. Really am. I'm barely 40. And I've got a granddaughter 6 years old and a grandson 4 years old. Barely 40 years old. And, some of you don't believe me. But I even have great-grandchildren also. Brother Carlton Jones is right there, a longtime friend. He'll verify that. I have great-grandchildren. Actually, there's only two people that know that. That's my grandchildren. They think I'm great. See, some of you need to smile. But I'm not all that old. But I remember going on vacation years ago. Now listen, I come from a family of seven, plus my mom and daddy. That makes nine. Now, I remember back just as a boy, you start having long-term memory, they tell me, from 4 years old on. So those of you who have been little fellas, and I call them rascals, that are misbehaving, and they won't straighten up their act, and they're 4 years old and younger, don't even hesitate to correct them. Because they ain't going to remember it. But you're going to have an entire lifetime to regret that you didn't correct them. Because because the long-term memory starts around 4, and how many can verify that? You don't remember from 4 down, but I remember from 4.5, 5 years old. I remember when I was 4 years old. I remember when I was 5. I remember things happening in my life. Oh, yeah. I remember great spiritual things that happened to me when I was just a boy. But I didn't want to tell you that. Here's what I want to tell you. We used to we lived in a house probably about the size of, from that door right there to that wall over there, about as big as this platform. And listen to this, one bathroom. Isn't that something? One bathroom. Some of you have 2 or 3. But, I know some of you that ain't nothing. You didn't even have a bath. Some of you had a path. But I got here as fast as I could, Brother Underwood. Can't help. We got modern when I was coming along, you know. But remember, my dad had a 1959 Biscayne Chevrolet. And, of course, it was air conditioned. Whatever condition the air was outside is what it was inside. You ain't never been on vacation till you've been on vacation with 9 people in a 1959 Biscayne Chevrolet in the summertime going to the Great Smoky Mountains. My Lord, have mercy. But I remember we go on vacations, and my dad was a tight person where whenever you leave right now, he'll tell you what time you're going to get to where you're going within 5 or 10 minutes. I don't care if it's 1,000 miles. It's going to work out. He'll make it happen. And I don't know if you've been to Smoky Mountains, and we'd go to Rock City. We've been to Rock City lots of times back when I was a boy. And you get up in them foothills, you get up in them rolling hills, and all of a sudden you look out there in a big pasture, a big barn out there, big red painted barn and big white letters on top of it, Sea Rock City, Sea Rock City. Sea Rock. And you go a little further, and there's another one, Sea Rock City. And then you get up in them Smoky Mountains, and all of a sudden you're on them winding roads, and all of a sudden you look on the side of the road, and it's got a sign that says, 3 miles to Loco Joe's. Mm-hmm. And then in about 100-yard increments, it starts telling you what you're going to see at Loco Joe's. Cotton candy at Loco Joe's. Another 100 yards. You just, live bears at Loco Joe's. Ice cream at Loco Joe's. And it's everything, just every 100 yards or so. And then all of a sudden you see a sign that says, turn around, you just passed up Loco Joe's. But we're going to Rock City. We got to get to Rock City. And you get to Rock City and you go to Fat Man Squeeze and you go to Lookout Mountain and you see all of the beautiful stuff. And but you know, you finally get there and you see everything you have to see at Rock City and you get scratching your head and say, you know, if this is all there is to Rock City, we should have stopped at Loco Joe's. Now, isn't that just like living for God? See, some of you, hey, heaven is my goal. I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But it's good to be in Redding, California on a Thursday night. I'm not going to pass up all the cotton candy and the ice cream and all the wonderful things. There's a lot of good things that God wants you to enjoy on the journey. Heaven's going to be, oh, my Lord, have mercy. Some folks said, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to shout all the streets to go. You got to start on the... Start on the carpet. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I enjoy my salvation. Woo. All right. I know that I said that I wasn't going to be long, and I'm not. I'm not long at all. I'm almost through. But what I want to tell you is we're all on a journey. And listen, the second thing I want to tell you is this. The most important thing you can do on this journey is exactly what they did. It says, and they took Jesus. And they took him even as he was in the ship. Don't forget. Don't forget to take Jesus. Oh, I need Jesus.
just to carry me through a long life's journey. Friend, you need him too. And when you're in trouble, don't know what to do, just call on Jesus, 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 and he'll carry you through.
I wonder if anybody has witnessed that. He'll carry you through. And they took him as he was in the ship. Oh, you know, some folks feel like, hey, I don't need him. I don't need him. No. You think you can paddle your own canoe by yourself. You think you can make it by yourself. You can't do it. You're not big enough. Oh, some of, you know, we live in a proud and arrogant world. When people have just, they've X'd God out of the equation. Oh, yeah. They don't need him. At least they think they don't need him. And even, we live in a day when people are trying to look within themselves, especially up in this part of the country and up in Oregon and Washington. It's called secular humanism. What is secular humanism? It's just in our own way of saying it, is that God is not an equation. They replace the wisdom of God for human thinking. God is not an equation. Hey, but there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to need somebody bigger than yourself. Hey, it's just amazing me. I walk in the bookstore, and I love to go in bookstores. I love to read. And I go in bookstores, go in Barnes & Noble, go in Books A Million, go in books, and there's entire sections that, you know what it's devoted to? Self-help. Everybody say self-help. Hey, that's an oxymoron. That's about like saying rap music. That's like saying jumbo shrimp. That's like saying government organization. State worker, you know. That's oxymoronic. Self-help. Hey, you can't help yourself. I'll tell you what, I'm going to look inside myself to find the real me. You might wish you hadn't looked. You can't help yourself. No. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. And it seemed like in midstream, right in the middle of a sentence, he changed his mind. No. I'm not going to just lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord who made the hills. That's where I'm going to lift up. I can't help myself, but I know somebody that can help me tonight. You may be in a situation. Woo! Let me tell you what the Word of God says in Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength. Hey, I just came through a wildlife refuge last week in the northern part of this country up in Oregon. Yeah. And I saw literally hundreds of Roosevelt elk. And I came as far from here to that thermostat on the wall from them elk. And you know what? As if I wasn't even there. They just sitting there chewing the cud. Reached down and get a bite of grass. As if I didn't even exist. You know why? Because they're on a reserve. And they was on a refuge. God is my refuge and strength. Hey, I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. I've been rebuked. I've been scorned. I've been talked about, show as your bone. I've been up and I've been down. I've been leveled to the ground. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. Don't need nobody else. Why? Because God is my refuge and strength. A very present help.
in trouble. Everybody say trouble. That's what we all have in common. That's what someone, I read something the other day. What does John the Baptist, Alexander the Great, and Winnie the Pooh have in common? They all have the same middle name. But anyhow, listen, this is what we all have in common. Man that is born, Job 14 and 1. Man that is born of a woman, that's what we have in common, is a few days and full of trouble. Somebody said, you're so negative. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you got some trouble coming your way. I just read an astounding book, Brother Underwood, and the title of the book is Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And you know what he said? Just let me quickly tell you something. It's powerful. He said, in the next year, 78% of us are going to have an emergency. That's just the statistics. He said, number one, what you want to do is get out of debt. That's a no-brainer. Get out of debt. Some folks, I want to build wealth. I want to build a nest egg. No, it does you no good to put back $100 a week drawing 7% interest if you're paying thousands of dollars a year at 18% interest on your credit cards. That won't cost you nothing. That's just land you at. That's French word for something extra. Just threw that in there. But it said, get out of debt first. Get out of debt. Don't do nothing until you get out of debt. And then he said, you ain't going to start investing yet. No. He said, when you finally do get out of debt, average American family's in debt $14,000. That's not a house mortgage or a car note. That's credit cards. He said, when you finally get out of debt, he said, before you start trying to plan for the future or build your nest egg, investing, he said, the next thing you want to do is start you an emergency fund and put back at least $1,000. Isn't it stuff? Some folks always feel like they're the exception to the rule. You see them every day. You go to a mall, you go to a shopping center, and some folks always feel like they can park at the front door. I'm the exception. Because my time is important. Always people think they're the exception. But you know what he said? Put it back. Get you $1,000 and put it back. If it takes more than that, put it back too. But he said the minimum is $1,000. Now listen. He said, why? Because you are going to have an emergency. This one lady, and he said an emergency is not going down to the restaurant and eating either. So that's not an emergency. And he said, don't put it in a place where you can get it so easy. Put it back in a savings account where it takes an act of Congress to get it out if you need it. This makes sense to you? This one lady did that. And it's got a lot of testimonials in that book. So she did. She said she got out of debt, and she took her a long time to build that $1,000. She went down to the store, Walmart, and got a 14 by 10, I believe, picture frame. And she took that $1,000 and placed it bill by bill in the back of that frame and put it behind the cardboard and then on the glass, she wrote in letters, she said, in case of emergency, break the glass. Why do you say? 78% of us are going to have an emergency next year. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Some of you got more trouble right now than you can shake a stick at. One fellow said, I got more trouble than a country music song with 200 verses. Another fellow said, I got more trouble than a wooden-legged man in the forest fire. I'm more confused than a stray dog in a hubcap factory. I'm so low I have to jump up on a stepladder and milk a rat. I'm going to tell you what, that's mighty low.
That's mighty low. You think you're on top of the world right now, both feet dangling off. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everything was like the little song you sing when I was a boy? Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine in my way, zippity-doo-dah. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's factual. Everything is satisfactual. Oh, but let me tell you something. Get ready. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. Get ready. 78% of us are going to have an emergency in the next year. That's why you need to take Jesus with you. You know why you need to take Jesus with you? Exactly what happened that day. And there arose a great storm of wind that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, there's a big difference between the ship being in the ocean and the ocean being in the ship. It was now full. You're going to have some of those days. You're going to have some of those storms. That's why you need to take Jesus with you. So let the storms rage high. Let the strong winds blow. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. He walks with me, and not of earth shall harm me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm in the arms of Jesus, and can't nobody do me no harm. All right. Let me close with this verse of Scripture. Book of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse number 19. If you have your Bible, Brother Carlin, I want you to turn there and I want you to read it for me. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 19. Hey, listen. Listen. We're all going to go through the storm. Yeah. All going to go through the storm. It's not a matter of if. A matter of when. Isaiah 59 and 19, so shall they fear the Lord from the west and the glory from the rising of the sun. When? Everybody say when. Look at somebody next to you and say when. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Didn't say if he comes in. Said when. What is 1 Timothy say?
Lay up in store for themselves a good foundation. Yeah. Against the time to come.
All right. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. Not for right now. No. Not for right now. What for? Against the time to come. How many of you know somebody right now that's been through a dilemma just recently? Every time, can I just get spiritual on you? Every time that offering plate passes by, and you reach in there and you take what God has blessed you with, and you honor God with the tenth. And I might say this, that tithing is not even the tenth. Tithing is not the tenth. No. Somebody said, well, I guess you know it is. Not according to the word of the Lord, it ain't.
Right.
Tithing is not the tenth. I'll tell you what it is. It's the first tenth. If you wait till you pay the car note and the house note and the light bill and the electric bill and the cell phone bill and buy the groceries and go out and eat, you ain't had another tenth left over. That's why God says, first. Isn't it amazing when you start talking about money, how quiet it gets? I mind the story. The husband and wife got in an argument. She was coming from a very well-off family. And so he was, you know, he didn't have much, but she came from very well-off families. And so things wasn't going so good. She said, I'll have you to know. She said, that Rolex on your arm, you wouldn't have that if it wasn't for me. And she said, that Mercedes Benz that you're driving, you wouldn't have that if it wasn't for my money. She said, that lazy boy recliner that you're reclining in right now, you wouldn't have that if you would, hey, it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my money. He said, hold it. He said, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for your money. So, some folks feel like they just got to get, they got to get spooky when they start, when it starts time to give. And they got to pray about it. They got to look at the will of God. No, 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 no. No, don't get spooky. No, no. Just give. What are you doing? You got a storm coming your way. Well, what are you doing? You're laying up in store for a good foundation against the time to come. Every time you give in that offer, Dad, you sit down at that family altar and you take those precious children, you open that book and you start reading it and you start having family prayer. You know what you're doing? You're building up a foundation against the time to come. Oh, hallelujah. Every time you come through those doors and you come to the house of God and you give God glory and you hold up the hands of a man of God, you know what you're doing? You're laying up in store for yourself a good foundation. There are foundations, but it's got a qualifier. A good foundation. Look at somebody and say, a good foundation. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm on that foundation tonight. Give you some hope, I'll close my book. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When Christ shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Trust in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before God's throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Close your eyes all over this building. Hey, I could go on, but I'm not. The presence of God is in this place. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. I remember so many things in my life that I thought were fixed, and they were there forever. Some of them were just dreams. Some of them were more than dreams. After a while, I looked at my feet, and they were just a bunch of broken pieces. For a while, I wondered if they could ever go back together again or not. But for the long haul, God never makes mistakes. He will never trust you to walk down a road that it doesn't feel like it you're capable of walking down. This is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. You got to keep on going. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that you want to start on that foundation. If you hadn't started on the foundation early, the earlier the better. And then, if you got that foundation, you need to build on it. Lay up in store for a good foundation against the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. There's some young people here tonight need to lay hold on that. You need to build on that foundation.
Let go and let God have His wonder. Let go and let God have way. Your troubles will vanish. Your night turns. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have mercy. Close your eyes. Let go and let God have mercy. Oh, your troubles will vanish and your mind. Will pass, and your light shines.